This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to join the conversation. Now taking place as we speak, let us commence. Brian Wheeler joins us, the director of Charlottesville Tomorrow.
Good to be here.
This is a big day.
Big night.
In the history of Albemarle County in terms of development. Tell folks what's going on.
Well, we've reached a milestone with the Biscuit Run development. Biscuit Run, as most folks probably know, is the largest residential development ever under review in Albemarle County.
How many homes?
3,100.
On how much land?
On about, these homes will go on about 830 acres. And just to give you a comparison, if you take all of Forest Lakes North and South, and Hollymead in the middle, that's about 1,800 homes today. So this would be 3,100 in Biscuit Run.
It's almost double.
Almost twice the number of homes.
Yeah, like 75% more homes than all that Forest Lakes and Hollymead combined.
Biscuit Run is in the county's designated growth area, so it's an area intended to have that. I mean, right now it's rural farmland. And so some reactions we hear from the public are, we don't want to lose that farmland, but it long ago had that line drawn around it saying this is where we need to have growth in the future.
Yeah.
And so the question in front of the community today is the time right? And do we have a plan that makes sense? And is the developer bringing forward proffers that, mitigate the cost of that development for the community?
I got a million questions, Brian. And of course, I'm sure there's folks listening out there who've got questions and comments. 977-1070 is the phone number. Call anytime, folks. Love to hear from you. Who is the developer? I don't think I've ever asked this.
The principal is Hunter Craig, who's chairman of Virginia National Bank. And his attorney is Steve Blaine. Those are the two lead representatives that are in most of the meetings about Biscuit Run. There's an LLC, a limited liability company, called Forest Lodge, which is the company that bought the property from the Breeden family.
Yeah.
They paid about $46 million for about 1,300 acres.
Because the reason I ask is I was talking to somebody last week. We were at the gala for the Sorensen Institute, and I was actually found myself in a small circle of people talking, and I noticed everybody in that circle was either a big developer or a big banker. And they were explaining to me that most of the big development you see now going on, especially here in Virginia, is not the individual, the Freed companies, the husband and wife teams. It's like a big company. And there's usually a big bank behind it. It's not just some private developer who got a loan.
Well, in Albemarle County, we tend to, most of our big developments are by local people. So these are people in our community. And I think, if you ask them, they want to do right by the community. They want to have a quality development.
And
so
in
we
all
have
fair,
a,
yeah.
a Wendell Wood. We have a, Chuck Rotkin up at North Point. Wendell Wood did Hollymead Town Center. So these are local folks who, live in the community and want to do quality development.
And in all fairness, they are building where the county told them you could build.
Absolutely.
The county
That's
said
right.
to developers, we want to see a lot of homes here.
That's right. And so tonight, the Albemarle County Planning Commission is expected to vote on the project. The project was submitted back in September 2005. Typically, there's a 90-day time frame that the Planning Commission works under. In this case, because it's so big, they've had to come back and do a lot of groundwork on figuring out how to do a development of this size, talking to the community, talking to staff in the county, VDOT, you name it. And so they've had to ask for a lot of deferrals along the way. But now I think they're done asking for deferrals and they're ready for a decision. So the Planning Commission will vote on it. That's not the end of it. It then goes to the Board of Supervisors, no matter what the decision is tonight. So if they reject it goes to the board. If they approve it goes to the board.
And when it goes to the board, there's more public hearings, right?
That's right. There will be another public hearing. And just to touch real quickly on the public input process, I think it's very important, and it absolutely makes a difference. It doesn't matter if you live in the city or the county either, because this one is on the border, and a lot of city residents have been outspoken at past public hearings with concerns about transportation issues in particular. If you can't be there tonight, don't fret. You can also send them an email, planningcommission@albemarle.org, and it's not too late to do that. At least get your thoughts on the record. The public input does matter at this stage because it will inform the Planning Commission's vote. And I've seen this time and again where a member of the public will come forward, they'll say something, and then when it comes time to vote and the Planning Commissioner is making their comments about why they're voting for or against, they will say, you know, it really resonated with me what that person said. And it might have been a second grader with some Legos and Tonka trucks. I've seen that happen. Or it could be, you know, somebody who's been around the block a lot in these who comments on transportation. But somewhere in the middle, you know, and people in the middle, but all of that feedback is important. And the planning commissioners will use that to make their decision. So if you're out there listening and you don't have anything to do tonight, I would encourage you to come to the county office building, 6 o'clock. There's a public hearing. You can sign up and every speaker will get 3 minutes and they can say what they think about this.
This really is. Brian Wheeler is with us Tuesday, growth and development discussion. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. This is I don't want to be hyperbolic, as they say, but this really is a historic vote tonight.
It's very important. And, you know, look at other major developments like Albemarle Place. Albemarle Place is on 29 and Hydraulic, the size of two downtown malls. I went back and looked at how many people came to the public hearing in front of the Planning Commission for that project. Guess how many people came?
A couple dozen.
It turns out there were two speakers at the public hearing.
Oh, my God.
And when it reached the Board of Supervisors, that number was cut in half. There was one speaker. So, you know, that was another major development on the border with the city, and there were not a lot of people in 2003 who were coming out and commenting on that project.
Wow. Well, we didn't have the radio show then.
We didn't have the radio
and
show.
And just to underscore something, that's the whole reason that Charlottesville Tomorrow exists. It's not to fight anything. It's not to support it. It really is to just keep people informed and get people involved in this process. For God's sakes, this is a free society. Go to the meeting and find out what's going on. Speak out, whether you support it or you don't.
We're trying to make it easy, let people know through our calendar when the important meetings are taking place. As you said, tonight is certainly one of them. It's a milestone in, you know, Biscuit Run's process. Where it goes from here, it's hard to say. The Board of Supervisors can take up to a year to review it. Now, they've tentatively scheduled a date in May to have a public hearing, but they've also asked for a lot more information. We have supervisors Dennis Rooker and David Slutsky both on the record saying they need a whole lot more information on transportation and some of the proffers and before they will be willing to vote. They're not going to rush this. Yeah. So that May 9th date is probably not very realistic. I expect it'll drag on through the summer.
The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to join this conversation. Big vote tonight. The Albemarle County Planning Commission takes up Biscuit Run after almost 2 years of talking about it. They finally vote tonight, yay or nay, and send it to the Board of Supervisors. Betty is on line one. Betty, thanks for joining the conversation. Go right ahead.
Yes, I just want to thank Brian Wheeler so much for keeping people, particularly in the city, I'm a city resident, informed about so much about this process that's been going on. But my question now is, do you know what proffers, transportation proffers, are being offered tonight? And specifically, is the Sunset Avenue to Fontaine proffer, which some of the Planning Commission members had said that they wanted to see included, is that going to be included by the developer?
Great question, Betty. There is some money, about $1.5 million, that the developer has said they would contribute towards the Fontaine Avenue Sunset Connector. That road project is not, you know, on the Biscuit Run property. It's over near the Granger property and right. The Fontaine Avenue Research Park, just to make sure the listeners understand that. And one of the interesting things, Betty, is some of the supervisors are a little uncomfortable with the city pressuring for money for that project. And the reason is they would like to see the owners of the Granger property and UVA at the Fontaine Research Park pay for that road. So they see this proffer commitment as sort of alleviating other developers of something they should be paying for. That's not to say everybody seems to think that road is essential to creating the network of streets we need to support this development. But the question that's being discussed, and I think will continue to be discussed, even though they proffered it, I think this will come back with the Board of Supervisors. And I could certainly see some of the board say, you know, we appreciate you proffering that. We know why you did that, but we'd much rather have that $1.5 million applied to something closer to your project. Does that make sense?
Betty, hold on just a minute. We want to. Betty is a frequent caller to the program. We always enjoy her her calling and ask fantastic questions. Betty, hold on just a second. Matt's going to get some information from you, and we'll give you a free subscription to Virginia Living Magazine just for calling today. See, that's how you do it, folks. You just pick up the phone and call, and you you get to win free stuff. So give Matt get some information there from Betty, and we'll give her a Virginia Living subscription. We're going to take a break for local news and weather, and when we get back, we'll continue this discussion with Brian Wheeler, specifically about the proffers for Biscuit Run and about some of the recent numbers that came forth. They're talking about it over at CVilleNews.com, the price tag before us for the Biscuit Run, and some folks arguing that when the county approves something like this, we all lose because taxes go up to support something like this. The developer's not going to give us money for all the roads and all the sewage and all the things that we need as a community to support all of these people that are moving in. So we see our taxes go up as a result. So there really is some pluses and some minuses there. We'll explore that when we get back, and we invite you to join the conversation at 977-1070. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA, Charlottesville, the home of good radio, local issues, local talk. 977-1070 is the phone number. Give us a call if you'd like to join the conversation. We continue now with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. The big vote tonight. Where is it? When is it? And can folks talk at this meeting tonight?
Folks can talk at this meeting. It starts in about 25 minutes at the county office building, downtown Charlottesville. And public can sign up, and usually at the end, if you get there and you're late and you haven't put your name down, the chair of the Planning Commission, Marcia Joseph, is always very good about saying at the end, is there anybody else that would like to talk? So this meeting is, I expect, will go on for many hours this evening. So if you want to sign up early, then you can probably get out early if you need to.
Now, we want to talk about some of the numbers, but before we do, you've been to like all of these meetings for years. What's your feeling about how the vote might go tonight? Then they send it to the Planning Commission, whether it's up or down. It goes to the Board of Supervisors. What's your feeling, Brian, tonight about how this vote might go down tonight before the County Planning Commission?
What happens is the staff does a final report on the project. That goes to the Planning Commission the Friday before a meeting like this. That report last Friday had staff saying that they could not recommend approval of Biscuit Run at this time. They felt like there were too many unanswered questions, more details needed to be figured out on proffers and transportation issues and water and sewer concerns. So they just felt like they didn't have enough information. Staff's recommendation was that if in the event the Planning Commission sends it on to the Board of Supervisors with a negative review, that they should insist that it come back to the Planning Commission. And that's one of the parts of this discussion. The Board of Supervisors could say, well, no, we'll take it from here. Thank you very much, Planning Commission. But they could also say, we also don't think this is ready. Mr. Applicant, we're going to ask you to take it back to the Planning Commission. So who knows where it's going to go next?
How did they get this to a vote if even the staff is saying it's not really ready for a
Because
vote?
The clock ticks on an application like this by state law. So once the application is in, a 90-day clock starts ticking, and unless the applicant asks for a deferral, the Planning Commission has to vote on it. So at this point, the applicant is not asking for any more deferrals. They want to vote because they want to take it to the Board of Supervisors.
Right, right.
And I expect that they will uphold the staff recommendation tonight.
What is it? Do we have a final? Let's talk about the proffers that are being put forth. And of course, we're talking about Biscuit Run, well over 3,000 homes on, what was it, 800 acres?
Or yep.
800 acres just south of town. The biggest planned development in the history of Albemarle County. First of all, how many homes have been approved? How many homes has the county already given the green light to? They just haven't been built yet because the market isn't clamoring for new homes.
I think we're in between. We're at about 7,000 homes right now that have been approved.
That are
but
in
not
the pipeline.
Built. And that's at places like Old Trail Village out in Crozet, Belvedere up Rio Road, Hollymead Town Center, North Point. Those are the big ones that have really fueled that pipeline. And so that housing has not been built yet.
So this is about 50% more in the pipeline.
Right. And then you have a lot of housing in the city of Charlottesville as well, these condominium projects. And
yeah, that's a good point. We're just talking about the county here on those numbers.
Yep.
That's a heck of a lot of homes. What's the total in proffers that the developers of Biscuit Run had put forth? And first of all, explain to folks again, what is a proffer and this process?
A proffer is simply a tool by which the developer sort of sweetens the deal to get approval for a rezoning like this. Proffer contributions are intended to mitigate the impact of this new development. So a development like Biscuit Run's projected to bring 30,000 vehicle trips a day. So those are car trips a day, and some of the proffers are pointed at transportation. How can we expand the roads, put in new traffic lights, things like that, to accommodate the development? So the other thing that could happen would be if the proffers don't sweeten the deal enough and the Board of Supervisors were to reject it, then the developer could still do something what's called by right. So the property already has existing zoning on it, which is R1 and R2. That would allow them to put in about 1,400 homes, 1,400, as opposed to the 3,100 they will get if they get it rezoned. So there's an incentive for the developer to get more houses in there because they want a bigger project. And there's an incentive for the county to negotiate the best deal possible to ensure that, you know, we mitigate the impacts of that development.
Yeah. So the proffers that the Biscuit Run developers are putting up, where are they now? Is that public information? Do we
Absolutely.
Know?
It's and it's on the web. If you go to Albemarle's website, albemarle.org, you can get to that information. The county puts a dollar figure of about $20.7 million on the proffers that the applicant is bringing to the table today. The applicant, over the past 6 months, has put higher numbers on that. The county has now, you know, run their values on it, and they're conservatively calling it $20.7 million at this point. One of the, you mentioned CivilNews.com, Waldo Jaquith has a discussion going over there on his blog. One of the things that's being talked about is this fiscal impact analysis. The county does this with every major project. They ask, what is the fiscal impact going to be if this is approved and rezoned, or if it's not approved and it goes by right? And right now, the statement that really gets your attention, staff estimate that over the next 20 years, if the Biscuit Run property is developed as requested, could have a negative impact of $134.6 million on Albemarle County. So $134 million over the next 20 years is what they expect this project to cost the community. That's all of us. And the developer is bringing to the table, at this point, $20.7 million in proffers to mitigate that expense.
Which mitigate in all little letters, we might say. Definitely not in all caps. It doesn't even come close to the expense that this community would incur if they approve all of these homes to be built.
And that's one of the key questions for the community. Are we getting enough in the way of proffers to handle the impact of Biscuit Run? And then again, if we're asking for too much, are we forcing the developer to go by right? If they go by right, we're going to get all 1,400 homes, but we're not going to get the parks. We're not going to get the elementary school site. We're not going to get some of these road improvements that, you know, might be required anyway. It's a balancing act. And, you know, local government's in a tough position. They've got, you know, a powerful developer in this case who wants to bring forward a quality project that matches with the county's neighborhood model, and it's also a designated growth area. But a project like this has huge expenses long term for the county's capital needs. And that sort of investment in infrastructure has been one of the biggest controversies out in Crozet, where we had a master plan done. It itemized the capital investments that were going to have to be made. Some of those have been made. Others, like the road projects, have not come very quickly.
What is the situation with the proffers in with Biscuit Run? Where do we sit versus other growing parts of Virginia in terms of sort of by comparison? Like, can we say, oh boy, because it's sort of in a vacuum. I don't really know what to say. It's nowhere close to what the estimated fiscal impact is, but is it good in relation to, say, Loudoun County or Orange County, or where can we have some comps?
Yeah, let me give you a quick comparison. Glenmore is a development, you know, of course, out 250 East. That development brought $1,000 per home. That was negotiated in the year 2000. So $1,000 cash proffer per house. Albemarle Place was about $3,000. That was negotiated in 2003. Now, if you add in at Albemarle Place all the other proffers, you get to maybe $7,000 to $8,000 per housing unit. Then you look at Biscuit Run. If you take that $20.7 million and divide it by the 3,100 homes, you're looking at $6,679. $6,600. So that's less than we got as a community at Albemarle Place. So I think that's one important benchmark, where are we compared to other developments in our community. At the same time, we have some new information coming to the table. This is one of the reasons staff is saying we're not ready to approve this. the Fiscal Impact Advisory Committee is going to recommend to the Board of Supervisors they change their policy on cash proffers. And they are going to come forward with a number that is about $14,000 to $17,000 per household for cash proffers. So again, I just told you Biscuit runs
so
at $6,600.
Yeah.
Right. And our own staff are recommending $14,000 to $17,000. When I looked at Loudoun County, you brought that up, I tried to pick a comparable project that had a school site and a lot of housing, and they were about five times higher up in Loudoun County, and that was at about $30,000 per household for a proffer. Now, you know, one of the responses from the developers is, well, if we pay those kinds of proffers, we're just going to pass the expense off to the home buyer. Somebody has to pay for this. And, you know, again, that's where you get into this balancing act. And I think what I hear the public saying is they really want infrastructure invested in upfront or figured out. They don't want, 20 years to go by and us not have the roads to support a community like Biscuit Run, because then it won't be successful by anyone's measure.
Yeah.
And the question is, you know, does the developer need to back off on the profit margin? Does the county need to get more money from the state to pay for some of these roads? Or do taxpayers, you know, have to pay more in property tax? Residential growth does not pay for itself. And that was one of the issues I think Waldo was making on his blog.
Yeah, we
today.
Pay for it. When the developers come in, they socialize the risks and the downside, which we all pick up in higher property taxes, and they privatize the upside and the gains and the profits that's made on the development.
That's right. The cows out of Biscuit Run today do not go to school. The children that move into that community will go to school at a cost of $12,000 to $13,000 per child per year.
Yeah.
These cash proffers are one time. And so that's something the community needs to weigh.
We've talked about this before. The cash proffers aren't on any type of percentage arm or anything. Like, you get a cash proffer today, they could build it. You know, they're going to build it when they want to. They have permission on their own time schedule, the way the market determines. They could build it 10 years from now when those cash proffers that were decided on 10 years before don't really accomplish
that's
much.
Right. I think we need to see an inflation factor on these cash proffers so they do adjust over
time. Is that part of the discussion?
You know, I haven't found that detail in the proffers. I'll look for it, but I'm not sure it's in there.
And I got to tell you, this is just me talking. I don't buy for one second this argument the developer makes. Oh, we can't pay more proffers because then we'll pass it on to the buyer of the homes. Then the homes would be so expensive. They're going to build homes for the market. They're going to create homes, and they want to sell these homes. They're not going to have every home's not going to be $5 million, so they can hit this certain percentage of return. They're going to create homes for a market, for a given market at a given time.
Yep.
And try to sell them.
You know, these are very savvy business people. And at this point, I think in front of the Planning Commission, you know, they're not going to show all their cards for the proffers that they're willing to pay, because we're only at one milestone in the process. The real game is going to start, you know, with the Board of Supervisors throughout this summer.
Yeah. And I think it's really, really fascinating that a place like Loudoun County, a comparable development, is looking at proffers that are five times as much as here. Last time I checked, Loudoun County wasn't the number one place to live in America. But our community is. Why aren't our proffers more in line with other fast-growing places in Virginia?
And even if you adjusted the proffers, and I'm not even sure it's a reasonable exercise to do, but if you tried to adjust the proffers based on the cost of housing compared to Albemarle and Loudoun County, because clearly it's more expensive in Loudoun, even then you get to the proffers being three times as big. So I think there's a lot of room for improvement.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us every Tuesday to talk growth and development here in our neck of the woods, in our beautiful community. And you're headed to the meeting right now.
I'm heading there right now. We'll fire up the cameras, the recorders, and we'll capture it for folks. And tune in to SeavilleTomorrow.org to see what.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.